You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last week, the government announced its plans for reforming the Resource Management Act, or RMA, introducing two acts to replace the current RMA. The plan is to bring the two acts before the Select Committee next year, pass them just before the next election. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the ACT Party's Simon Court about this reform, working with the opposition and the lack of a treaty clause. We also talked about concerns that the health and police system in Aotearoa are failing following an 11-year-old being misidentified as a 20-year-old by police and being administered antipsychotic drugs. But first, we touch on the RMA reform. Chris Bishop has emphasised that the National Party is keen to work with the opposition, particularly Labour, to create a bipartisan approach to RMA. As Undersecretary for RMA reform, do you, along with the ACT Party, support this?
Yeah, 100%. New Zealanders deserve a much better planning system, and different governments have made amendments over the years. The previous Labour government spent 5 years having Tony Randerson and Rachel Brooking, who's actually a Labour MP, look into how to fix it. But after 5 years, what they produced was a piece of legislation, the Natural and Built Environments Act, which was actually longer than the current RMA, was far more complex, introduced new novel terms that would have taken judges and courts decades to work out what they meant, and would take 10 years to implement. We've actually taken the opposite approach, which is to say, why don't we reduce the scope of what the planning system does, focus on enabling infrastructure and housing in one act, and focus on managing environmental effects in a separate act. Because it turns out that if you're building a shed on your property, you probably don't need an environmental consent. If you're building a 12-storey building in the CBD of a city like Auckland, the environmental effects are probably minimal, if any at all. You're really focusing on urban effects. So we just think there's a much simpler way to do it. And we know that Labor will agree to a lot of what we're proposing, because it was actually included in the legislation that David Parker proposed. It was just much more complicated and was going to take longer to implement. So we think there's lots of opportunity for common ground.
There is concern that this bipartisan approach may not be possible if ACT and New Zealand First retain a right of veto. Do you think this is something your party is likely to use in this situation?
Well, look, I'm the champion as Undersecretary of Resource Management Reform. ACT campaigned on the proposal that went to Cabinet that we're now working on. In 2022, as the spokesperson for resource management reform, I release ACT's proposals for building New Zealand and conserving nature, which has largely formed the basis for what Chris Bishop and I have produced for Cabinet and which we announced last week. So I'm confident that the government will deliver on our resource management commitments. I'm also confident that Labor will agree to things. Certainly, when the final legislation comes back to Cabinet for final approval, no doubt there are things we'll want to tweak, but I'm sure that Labor, and we're hoping the Greens as well, particularly when it comes to freshwater and ecology and environment, will actually get on board with a lot of things that we're proposing to do. Because in the end, Kiwis mostly agree on what we value. We value our environment, we value our special places, we want to respect people's culture and heritage and taonga and wahi tapu, and we're going to make sure that all of those things are included in the new legislation.
The choice has also been made to remove the treaty clause from RMA. Labor says this is a concern for them, particularly when it comes to creating a bipartisan approach. Why was this clause removed?
So the current RMA has a general treaty clause, which basically says anyone making decisions under the RMA has to have regard to the Treaty of Waitangi and the principles of the treaty, and that's just a big amorphous blob of an unknown obligation. And so courts and judges and councils have spent years trying to work this out. I mean, I talked to what this means in practice under the current system. I talked to a mayor of a major provincial council who said, look, we've got about 80 culverts to replace under our local roads. That's a pipe that goes under the road, so the water goes from one side of the road to the other. If we don't replace them and they collapse, the road's going to fail and people's properties are going to flood. Well, he's had to go and send his council round to get cultural impact assessments from 8 different iwi and hapu. He said, we can't do this. I mean, not only do these things cost tens of thousands of dollars each, all we're doing is replacing a pipe under the road. So that's where this general obligation is really unhelpful, and we're not going to include that. But what we are going to do is say, look, where there are specific treaty settlements or specific Crown obligations, then we're going to make sure they're written into the new legislation. So, you know, for example, Tahu and Waikato Tainui are two that I know of which have specific resource management participation rights in their treaty settlements. We're going to have to take account of that. That will be in the new law.
When asked about the treaty clause removal, Māori Development Minister Tamapōtaka said he was unaware of this change. Had he been briefed on this before the change was made?
All cabinet ministers participate in decision making, and I understand that the way the question was put to him was confusing, and he clarified that.
Moving on to our next topic, a huge item in the news last week was the case of an 11-year-old girl being misidentified by police and healthcare staff as a 20-year-old and then being handcuffed and administered antipsychotic drugs. What concern does this cause the ACT Party?
Well, we really, really feel bad for the girl and her family. It was appalling and unacceptable. Mental Health Minister Matt Doocy's advised that the girl was doing well. She's at home and she wasn't suffering from any side effects from the injection she was administered, but it's certainly unacceptable, and I would be expecting the police and health authorities to investigate to find out what happened to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Does the ACT Party see this as a failing within our health system or even within our police force?
Well, certainly that girl and her family were failed on the day. What I would point out is that police are involved in thousands of mental health responses every year from people who are threatening self-harm, threatening others, who are delusional and psychotic, and the police have a lot of experience in dealing with these people. I think it's very, very unfortunate that this young person has received this treatment. Clearly there's been some mistake, but I would expect that police and health authorities would be working very, very hard to make sure this never happens again.
That was the ACT Party Simon Court about the Resource Management Act, or RMA, reforms and concerns about the country's health and police system following an 11-year-old being misidentified as a 20-year-old by police and administered antipsychotic drugs. We'll be right back. Text in 5395 on any of your thoughts on these pieces.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.